Good evening, everyone. So tonight we're going to be in the end of John chapter 14. We're going to finish off John chapter 14. We're just going to be looking at a verse that Jesus says. It's talking about peace, about giving his disciples a real peace. It's the day before he's about to die. He's giving his disciples some last instructions, and he's talking about peace. So if you're someone who never gets stressed out, if you never are anxious, if you never feel overwhelmed, if you feel like you're always in complete and perfect control of your life, then what Jesus has to say here tonight is probably not going to be relevant for you. But if you're someone who does get stressed and anxious, and you feel sometimes that life is not in control, that things happen that you don't plan for, then what Jesus has to say about peace is really relevant to you and to me tonight. So let's just read John chapter 14, start at verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." And we'll just particularly be focusing on verse 27, which is, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So we'll be looking at this peace tonight in two points. The first is, what is this peace? The second is, how do we get it? So we're going to look at, what is this peace? We're going to see that it's a calm sense that it's going to be okay. We're going to see that it's Jesus' own peace, which he gives to us, knowing that God is in control and that he loves him, and that it's genuine. It's not like the peace the world offers. And the second thing is, well, how do we get this peace? We're going to look at, you need to be a disciple of Jesus, and you need to be spending time with God to have this peace. So first of all, what is real peace? "Peace I leave with you" is the first thing that Jesus says in this verse. Peace is just a real calm sense in trying times that it's going to be okay. A real calm sense in trying times that it's going to be okay. Now, to be honest, we don't really have this sense of peace most of the time, do we? I mean, throughout our lives, we can go from day-to-day things kind of okay, kind of dealing with anxiety and stress okay. But when the really hard times in life come, it's really hard to have a sense of peace. And I'm sure that, kids included, probably most of us here have gone through a really trying time in our lives, a time of suffering, a time of pain, a time where you feel like it's not in control. I remember when I was growing up, from my whole childhood and my teen years, my family was going through a real hard time financially. When we moved up to Brisbane, we bought a house and a couple of cars, and then my dad lost his job, and for the next 15 years or so, we didn't have a secure income coming into the family. And we didn't really know it as kids, but we can see our parents distressed, and it was really hard for them, just year after year, not knowing, not feeling like things are in control, not knowing how the bill's going to be paid or how the food's going to get put on the table. And I remember Mum would go and she'd buy, 20 kilos of fish fingers and chicken drumsticks, and we'd just have fish fingers and chicken drumsticks for the next 2 years. And that's just kind of how it worked in our family. And it was kind of okay for us kids. We didn't know what was going on. But my parents, it was a really hard time. They definitely didn't feel like peace. They definitely didn't feel like they had a sense of peace. And I'm sure that most people in this room, you've been through something really hard. It probably hasn't been financial. It might have been, you might have had a miscarriage, or you might have lost a parent or a child unexpectedly. You might be diagnosed with cancer. You might have a deep depression or anxiety or a phobia. You might have a mental illness. There are all sorts of different things that happen in our lives and that happen to to each person, and we don't seem to have a sense of peace. And then Jesus here offers to his disciples, who would have the same kind of lives as us, a real sense of peace. So he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So what is my peace? What is the peace that Jesus has that he wants to give to us? What does it look like? First of all, the peace that Jesus has wasn't an absence of trouble in his life. From what we've been reading in John so far, the past 14 chapters, we saw that Jesus was homeless. He didn't have a home. Jesus didn't have any money with him. He didn't have any possessions. Jesus didn't have a wife and kids like everyone else probably had. He didn't have a career. He didn't have stable relationships, committed relationships. We saw that, or we're going to see in the next few weeks, that his friends abandoned him and rejected him in the most important time of his life. So Jesus, right throughout his life, he really didn't have much, and he probably knew what it was like to hurt. And then as we're going to see in the next few chapters that Jesus went through a really excruciating death. You probably know the story of how Jesus was crucified, that he was taken before a court and he was convicted for something that he was innocent of. And they took him out and they got a whip with metal parts or little metal nails and things that would rip flesh off his back, rip muscle, rip skins. He was beaten and tortured with that. And then he was took up onto a high hill and he was nailed to a cross to his hands and his feet and then risen up to suffocate to death for a few hours. So Jesus knows exactly what it's like to suffer. And that's the suffering and the trouble that, as human beings, we can kind of understand. And we can even say that Jesus probably suffered more than any human being who ever lived and whoever will live, because he faced the wrath of God on the cross. He faced the complete anger and wrath of God for our sins on him. He faced more pain and misery than any human being has ever lived. Yet he has a sense of peace. And yet he has a sense that it is going to be okay. So the first thing about Jesus' peace is that it's real, it's in the midst of trouble, it's even though he's hurting, he's still got this real sense that it's going to be okay. And we see that throughout Jesus' teaching. Again, we're going to see that over the next couple of weeks as well. I just want to bring up one passage in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And this is earlier on in Jesus' life, and he's giving some instruction about anxiety and how we should feel about how we should react to worry. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all things." And we'll just stop there, and that key is there, that last thing that Jesus says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all things." Right throughout Jesus' life, when he was homeless, he didn't have money, he knew that he was going to suffer, he didn't have relationships, he said to people, "Don't worry, because you know that your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, that he loves you and he's going to care for you." And right throughout Jesus' life, through his trials, through his trial of death, the suffering that he went through, he knew those two things. He knew that God the Father loved him and that God the Father cared for him and that he could have a real sense of peace because it's going to be okay. So the peace that Jesus has is just a real calmness, knowing that whatever he goes through, God the Father is loving and caring, and it's going to be okay. Just go back to your passage next to me. Next thing that he says here is, not as the world gives do I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. That's a really striking statement for Jesus to say, because that cuts to the heart of where we usually look for peace in our lives. Usually we look for peace in all of the wrong places, and it never happens. We never actually get the peace we want. You know, sometimes we think, if I just had enough money to pay the bills, man, it would all be okay. If I could just pay off the mortgage, it would be okay. As long as my kids stay on track and get good grades, it'll be okay. As long as my friends like me and they laugh at my jokes, I'll be okay. As long as my health stays good, I'll be okay. Isn't that true that there's so many things in our life that we look for, that we look for to give us this sense of it's going to be okay. As long as I've just got this one thing in my life, it's going to be okay. And the sad reality is that even if we do get those things, it never is okay. It never is okay. Even when the mortgage is paid off, even when the kids go well at school, even when our friends laugh at our jokes, even when we've got good relationships, there's still something going wrong in our lives. We can't control everything. And we keep seeking after this peace, seeking after this feeling that it's going to be okay, and we can just never grasp it. And Jesus just cuts straight to the heart right there when he says, not as the world gives do I give to you. He's saying, look, the world, it promises you peace, and all these things promise you peace, but it doesn't actually give it. It's not actually genuine in your heart. You don't actually feel it. But the peace that I give to you is genuine. You will feel it. It will change your life. So that's the peace that Jesus is talking about. That's real peace. So how do we get this? How do we get this solid, genuine, real peace? How do we go through a trial and really come out feeling that everything is going to be okay, even when life really hurts? First thing is that this promise from Jesus is only to his disciples. It's only to Christians. It's not to everyone. This conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, it's the day before he's about to die. It's only a few people here. He had a few years to talk to the general public, the general population, but this is something he only says to his disciples. So we see that to have this real peace, you need to have a real relationship with God. You need to enter into a right relationship with God. And if you could just bring up Romans 5, verse 1. This just speaks about having a right relationship with God. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So something we've been talking about over and over again is that we're not born into this world right with God. We're born into this world at war with God, in rebellion. We don't want to do what he says. We don't listen to what he does, what he wants us to do. We want to do our own thing. So we're at war with God. And we have here, it says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That, as Doug was saying before, that if we come to Jesus confessing our sin, his blood can wash us clean, and we can enter into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So the first thing to really have this sense of peace of Jesus from God is to have a right relationship with God. And the second thing of how we get this peace is, once you have a right relationship with God, once you're a disciple, once you're a Christian, is to spend time with God and pursue God and seek God and be as close to him as possible. Just want to share a verse with you, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Someone in our family here shared this with me on the morning of an exam, and I found it really helpful, and I just thought I'd share with you tonight. And it just sums up Jesus' peace really well. So 26 verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So the way that as disciples, as Christians, we can have this genuine peace from Jesus is when our mind is stayed on God. Because when our mind stayed on God, we trust God. Now notice here, it's not one of those put the penny in the slot, get a prize, get a gumball. It's not you do something for God, God does something for you. But it's a relationship thing. It's a as you're being with God, as you're thinking about God, as your mind is stayed with God, you will trust God and God will give you peace. And this was Jesus' relationship with his Father. Right throughout his life, he didn't need those different things. He didn't need a home, didn't need career, didn't need relationships or money, but he had this really strong relationship with God. And therefore, when it came to the tough times, he had a real sense of peace. I remember a few months ago, we went to the nursing home just to sing some hymns. And if you'd like to come, we're going in a few weeks. I'll just stick a plug in there. It's really good. If you'd like to come, just let me know. It's a few of us ago. But we're at the nursing home, and Bethany Dean was there, and she was just twirling around as she does, just doing some exploring. It was really cute. And she went maybe 6 or 7 metres away from Ruth, and she was just walking around really happy. And then this guy's dog just appears out of nowhere around the corner, and he's really happy to see Bethany, but he's about Bethany's height. And Bethany just absolutely cracks it and just bolts back to Ruth straight away. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting that a child, as soon as they get scared, who does she go to? She bolts back to Ruth. And there would have been about 30 people in that room. But the one person that she ran to, who was on the other side of the room, was her mother. Now, why would a child do that? Why would a child in a whole room of 30 people who are closer to her bolt straight back to her mother? I think Bethany bolted straight back to her mother because Ruth is the one person who Bethany spends the most time with. Ruth is a rock. Ruth is secure. Ruth is trustworthy. She is with Ruth all day. Now, she isn't with us all day. So when something wrong happens, who does she go to? She goes to the person who she's with all the time. And she just went like that. It was a habit. She bolted. And that's what it's like in the Christian life. That's what it's like in the Christian life. The more time we spend with God, just hearing what he has to say in his word, talking to him just every day about our problems, the more time we spend in him, the more we're going to know that he is a safe place, he is a safe rock, he is a place of security. And as soon as something goes wrong in our lives, bang, straight back to God. But if we're not spending time with God, if our mind isn't stayed on God, we're going to look to other people in the room who we don't trust. We're going to look to all of these other places to give us that sense of peace, that sense of calm. So the two things of how we just really get this genuine peace is to, first of all, calm and have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the second is to really develop a relationship with God and spend time with him. Just lastly, just a real life example of this was a guy named Stephen, and we read about him in Acts 7 and 8. Stephen was just an average Christian, average church member, and he lived just after Jesus left the earth. And he said some really truthful but really piercing things to the religious people of the time, and they really didn't take too kindly to that, so they decided to stone him for it. So here is Stephen just addressing these people, and all of a sudden they get really upset, drag him outside and start throwing stones at him. And the way that Stephen responds isn't like the way that we'd think that you or me would respond in crying, begging for mercy, trying to run away. But Stephen has this real sense of peace, and he he just puts up his hands and he begs to go to be with God, and he even begs God that God wouldn't count these people's sin against him. So even when Stephen was being stoned and killed, he was so close to God that he just wanted to be with God. He wasn't thinking about himself. He just had this real sense of peace. So just in conclusion, we see that peace is just a real calm sense that it's all going to be okay, even when life gets really hard. So that Jesus gives his own peace. He offers his own peace to us, a peace that trusts in God as loving and caring and in control. We see that we search for peace in all ridiculous places, which don't actually give it to us and provide it. And lastly, to get this peace, we need to be in a right relationship with God, and we need to be spending time with him and seeking him, so we run to him when things get tough.